be to God.
Today I have a tough question for us to answer, but I would first like to let us look at our gospel passage in a bit more detail. Of course, the main character is Jesus. And that's not unexpected when we're looking at the gospel. It's kind of a dumb moment. Jesus in this passage, right before what's happening in what we read today, he has been healed, which is another common thing that Jesus had done. And in this case, folks, and they were probably parents or other family members, were bringing children to Jesus so that Jesus could lay his hands upon them. Now, the disciples weren't happy that these children were being brought forth. And again, as a reminder, children in this society have very little value in what we consider the first century of society, until they got to the age where they could work and be a financial benefit to the family. Yet Jesus admonishes the disciples and calls the children to himself. Jesus reminds those who are present that to accept the least is to accept the kingdom of God. When Jesus had completed his time with the children, he had done some blessings of them, he did some teachings, and the folks present and the disciples, some of them got up with Jesus to begin his next leg of the journey. And as he's beginning to step out and move along on his journey, here comes a young man running up to him, and this is where we find ourselves in today's passage. This young man is wealthy. And being wealthy, not having anything to do with his age, gives him some status in this community. Remember, wealth is seen as if God must be blessing you tremendously. If you're poor, that means God's not blessing you in this society, in this way of looking at God's interaction with people. God, we believe, looks upon those with wealth and blesses them, so they get more wealth. And in this particular story, and in this particular young man, we have no idea how he obtained his wealth. For all we know, he's a crook, a cheat. Maybe he charges people too much money. Maybe he has false weights, or maybe he inherited it. And or maybe he actually earned it. We have no idea. Yeah, but what we do see with this young man, and it's a point of the story which we too need to think about ourselves, is that this young man, as he approaches Jesus, kneels down at Jesus. He kneels before Jesus. And while the story doesn't give us any specifics about this young man's religious upbringing and what he's learned in the community, he must have learned something about Jesus. He must know something about Jesus that led him to give this honor to Jesus. Here is this man of wealth with status in the community, and his reaction is to kneel before Jesus. He gives Jesus respect and honor. When was the last time you knelt at Jesus' feet and gave Jesus respect and honor? We know he took his time to seek out Jesus. It wasn't just a happenstance. He came running up to him. He wanted to see him. He was eager to see him. How often do you seek Jesus? He also calls Jesus good teacher. And while he hasn't gotten to the place to be like Peter and refer to Jesus as the Messiah, he has learned something from someone somewhere about who Jesus is, and that Jesus could have a difference in his life. What do you need to know about Jesus so that Jesus would make a difference in your life? Now, I don't want to gloss over the whole part in this story about Jesus' teaching on the goodness of God. That's a whole nother sermon, that one sentence. It's a whole nother sermon, and we're going to leave that for another time. But I want to center in on the question that the young man asked Jesus in, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to connect with God so that it lasts forever? We learn from Jesus' response that he knows that he is speaking to a Jewish man, for he asked the man about the commandments. Don't you know that? And Jesus even recites a few of them. And the man replies, and this gives us more insight into who this man is, "Teacher, I have kept these since my youth." In other words, since the time that I became accountable for my actions, I have kept these commandments. So we get the impression that this young man is a faithful Jewish man who has been instructed in his faith, yet he knew there was more than he needed to know. He was searching for more. Remember, in the beginning of this, I gave this whole list of possibly how he could have gotten his money, that maybe he was a crook or a cheat. Well, maybe from his comments of saying, "I have followed them since my youth," we can knock those two off the list. So he's probably gotten his money by legitimate means. Jesus doesn't question his truthfulness of following the commandments. And he continues in his discussion with Jesus. And Jesus looks at this young man. And it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Wouldn't we love that? To see Jesus looking at each of us. And what you see in Jesus' eyes as Jesus looks at you is love. That's what that young man saw as Jesus looked at him. That God, Jesus, loved him. Yet Jesus said to this young man, "You lack one thing." Quite better than hearing, "You lack 10 things." For this young man, the one thing he lacked was his willingness to give up his wealth. However this young man obtained his wealth, it had become extremely important to him. So important that the desire to keep it is more important than his desire to connect with God. Because the story says he walked away grieving. Grieving the loss of the money, grieving the loss of his connection with God if he wasn't willing to give up the money. That question I asked that I wanted to ask you earlier is, what is the one thing you are lacking that is keeping you from following Christ? Now, I'm not talking about coming to church on Sunday morning. I'm talking daily walking with Jesus. Daily. I'm talking about not being a holy roller, but by walking and talking and participating fully as a follower of Jesus the Christ. I'm talking about someone who is in Jesus's book, the Word of God. I'm talking about one who is spending time in prayer, meditating, communicating back and forth with God. I'm talking about one who is willing to put their time to work and at the disposal of God to do the work of God in the community. I'm talking about the one who every single day when they go to work, whether it's volunteer work or they're being paid for it, that they're going and doing their work to the glory of God. That people at their work site know they are a follower of Jesus Christ because of how they act in that workplace. How they stop and do not participate in racial slurs and jokes that are demeaning to others. How they live a life that is honoring to God, that when the boss comes along and adds a pile of work to the desk, it is not followed by a list of explicit words coming out of their mouth because of the pile of work. But they dig into that work with the joy of God because of the blessing God continues to flow down upon them. That is what I'm talking about, someone who is willing to be walking with Christ each and every day. Not just on Sunday morning. Not just Easter Sunday or Christmas. But the one who's able to say, you know, there's something that I need to get rid of in my life so that I can follow Jesus more fully. In our passage, Jesus tells the young man, sell your possessions. Give it to the poor and follow me. Yet this young man is shocked. He's devastated. He's probably looking for the easy way out. He's probably thinks God's going to give him another commandment to follow. Some easy rule that he can check off on a list of to-dos. For this young man, disposing of his wealth was his stumbling block. And this might be the stumbling block of many who have wealth, as Jesus says in the passage of how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter into the kingdom of God. What about you? What is your stumbling block? What is holding you back from fully following Jesus the Christ? When Jesus looks at you, awesome with the love that is in his face, and says to you, you lack one thing. What is Jesus going to tell you? Sometimes I think Jesus would say to me, glory to the way you're tired. Spend more time at the piano. How about getting outside in the world that I create and spending time just talking, one-on-one? What would Jesus say to me? This is the question that only you can answer. I can't answer it for you. Your partner can't answer it for you. Your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your grandma, your Aunt Tilly, your Uncle Joe, they can't answer this for you. This is an answer that's got to come between you and Jesus the Christ. But if you'd ask me, Reverend Lori, how do I have that connection with Jesus? What do I do so that I can know that I'm walking with God each and every day? Well, maybe you need to start reading some scripture on your own. And I can hear it already. Oh, Reverend Lori, the Bible is so hard to read. There are times I just don't understand it. And all those begets and all that stuff and the murder that goes on in the Old Testament. You know, my response is, read the Gospel of Mark. It's short. Now, short's not always the best criteria, but Mark is also concise. He's to the point. He's easy to understand. You get to meet Jesus in the book of Mark. And you can take that Jesus to your heart from the book of Mark. Maybe you want to read the letters to the Ephesians. And hear Paul talk about what it is to walk day by day with Jesus in that letter to the Ephesians. Maybe you need to come to Bible study on Wednesday evenings, commercial interruption. If you said to me, Reverend Lori, I want to start praying more, but I don't know what to say, welcome to the club. Maybe you use something as simple as the Lord's Prayer as your starting. It's okay to repeat the Lord's Prayer as your prayer. Maybe you go to our church website and you go to the Congregational Care page. And on the Congregational Care page, you'll see the same prayer requests that we put on our green sheets. How do I know this? Because I type them on there every week. There's a resource for you to use to pray for these things, and there is prayer. And I can tell you that I know that just as that young man walked away from Jesus, probably shaking his head in disbelief that Jesus would actually ask him to do something that's hard, Jesus is asking that of us also. Doing a walk with Jesus every day is not easy, especially when we try to do it ourselves. But when we rely upon Jesus, when we rely upon the help of God, it makes all the difference. Now, I remember as a teenager that probably the most important thing in my life was to spend time with my friends. Wasn't really thrilled with spending time with the family. They weren't as interesting at that time as my friends or doing chores. I know my brothers and I really, really wanted to be down. You know, everybody knows what a sump field is. It's the place where the water pump is that feeds water to the whole neighborhood. And it's encircled by a huge field. And we all learned how to climb under the fence and dig under the fence. And they made a great baseball field. Because if you hit the cement walls of the sump field, nothing happens. But we had a great field. We all rather be down there at the sump field playing baseball than kneeling in the backyard weeding one more time. I always remember my section was from the corner of the backyard all the way across the backyard to the other corner, and that was my responsibility. And I had to make sure they were always weed-free. The most boring job in the world, especially when you're 10. And you want to be playing baseball. How hard it was to spend time doing chores, but how easy it is to spend the same amount of time playing baseball. So even if it's something that we really like, it's really easy to spend that 2 hours. But when it's something that we don't like, it's that 2 hours will drag forever. We can also apply it to how easy it is for us to do fill the blank, whatever you like to do, go to the movies, watch games, play on the computer, go to bingo, go do anything, and how hard it is to spend that same amount of time with Jesus. The young man walked away grieving. And we have to kind of guess, did he grieve that Jesus was asking him to get rid of all of his money that was so important to him? Because the passage does say how important it was. Or was he grieving because in not wanting to give up his money, he was going to miss out on the connection with God? What makes you grieve? What is keeping you from following fully Jesus? You know, we don't know what becomes of this young man. We don't have, what's the guy's name? What's it, Paul Hardy?
The rest of the story.
We don't have the rest of the story on this young man. Yet we do know that this passage says, for God, all things are possible. And I truly believe that whatever we have in our lives that is keeping us from fully engaging with God, if we say to God in our prayers, just in our head, God, I need to get rid of this thing that's between us. God will make it possible. Hear me again. God will make it possible because the scripture promises to us that with God, all things are possible. With God's help, there isn't anything that can keep us from God if that's what we really want. There isn't anything that will keep you from being a committed follower of Jesus Christ daily, fully, with all of your heart and with all of your being. And while it will be hard today, the eternal rewards are beyond you. Amen. Thank you. us rise as we are able and join together in our hymn of response.